The Inflation Reduction Act aims to make prescription drugs more affordable and limit climate change, among other items. Michigan's senior U.S. Senator is Debbie Stabenow. She tells WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter approving the act is a win for seniors, a victory for small business owners, and a sign that all Democrats in the Senate can actually cooperate on an agenda.
We pay the highest prices in the world, literally, about three times more than other countries. All you have to do is cross the bridge into Canada and drop your prescription drug prices at about 40%. But yet the drug companies have the highest profits in the world, and we're seeing them putting much, much more, 10 times more into stock buybacks than into research. So this bill is going to allow Medicare for the first time to negotiate the best price. They've been prohibited by law from negotiating, even though they're the largest purchaser in the country. So Medicare is going to be able to negotiate the best price, which will bring prices down. In addition, if you have diabetes, there's going to be a cap on your out-of-pocket costs every month to $35 a month, which is huge. About one out of three people on Medicare are diabetic. So this is a very big deal. And then keeping the cost increases to the rate of inflation or less, otherwise the drug companies will be penalized. So altogether, this is going to lower costs, and it's about time.
It's called the Inflation Reduction Act. Some Republicans are arguing that the new business taxes in the act will force companies to raise prices and maybe cut jobs or limit creating new ones. How do you answer that?
This bill doesn't raise taxes on small businesses or anyone making under $400,000 a year, which is not exactly a small amount of money. But if you are multi-billionaire and you've been avoiding paying any taxes, you're going to have to pay your fair share. This is very important. We basically are tackling costs for people around prescription drug costs and electric bills and other areas of costs. And then we are focusing on climate change, which is hitting all of us right in the face. And one of the things that motivates me is that we know now the Great Lakes are warming faster than the oceans, and we are seeing all the effects around Michigan. In fact, Lake Superior is one of the five fastest warming lakes in the world, which is very frightening. So this bill is going to incentivize clean energy manufacturing, more electric vehicles, more solar and wind, bringing the battery production back to the United States, which is a lot of jobs for us. It's going to support farmers being able to do things that will lessen carbon pollution, keep the carbon in the ground so it's healthy soil but not in the air, keep methane emissions out of the air, which are very dangerous for dangerous greenhouse gas. We expect in the next 8 years, this bill is going to reduce the amount of pollution, the amount of carbon emissions by 40% in the next 8 years, which is huge. So we all have to lean in on this, and this bill is the first major step in doing that.
I've heard some automakers that say they fear the tax credits for the electric vehicles, in particular for those buying them, might not be as effective as some had hoped, because they depend on buying vehicles with batteries made in the U.S., and so many components are not right at the moment, and that would perhaps limit how much of a credit a customer could actually get. Is that a legitimate concern, do you think?
I've been working very closely with the automakers, so my one real disappointment is that the way this has been approached, and this is really Senator Manchin, who is a driver on this bill, who is not a supporter of electric vehicles, and basically he designed a credit that is going to make it very difficult when it's fully implemented for the auto companies to be able to offer that to customers for at least 5 years or so. So we all want to have these batteries produced in the United States. We want to get off of any materials from China. That's what the tax credits for manufacturing is all about. But for consumers, we're going to see a window next year. The consumer credits will be fully available, which is great, up to $7,500 to purchase a vehicle, an all-electric vehicle. But after that, once these very, very limited provisions kick in, it's going to cause the credits not to be available for a few years.
That seems to be a phrase that comes up quite often lately, especially among Democrats. We could have done this except for Senator Manchin, or maybe Senator Sinema.
Right. Well, we, in a 50-50 Senate where it's basically a tie vote, and in this area, we didn't have any Republicans with us, so we had to have every single Democrat, but we got it done.
There's help in the new act, apparently for Medicare, as you say, and different services. The act would also help people with disabilities. But I've had some disability advocates who are questioning why the home and community-based services that were initially in the Build Back Better plan were left out of the Inflation Reduction Act. Can you say why that happened?
Well, I strongly support the home and community care provisions. I've been a co-sponsor for years. I'm leading efforts on home health care right now. This is a situation where we could not get the support of Senator Manchin, and we needed 50 votes, and he did not support putting it in this package. So this is unfinished business. It definitely needs to get done. In governing and in politics is the art of the possible, and so we're doing what is possible. This is really, really important, bringing down prescription drug prices for anyone who's on Medicare, which includes people with disabilities, is really, really important. The other care provisions that are also important, we're going to have to go back and get those done at a later point.
Manchin was against home-based community services for the disabled?
He did not want to include it in this legislation.